Father, I thank you, Lord, again, everybody's here to fellowship together. We thank you. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let it also give encouragement even today in Jesus' name. We give you the praise and glory. Amen. You know, yesterday, for those who are here, you heard me say it. But if you are not, I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to say it again anyway. Something special happened. And it stayed with me. I was just thinking about it. I went to the worship service. I came home, did some things. But it was still in my mind. I was just thinking about it. And what happened was made such an impression on my heart that I wanted to talk about it. A little bit more today. I'm just gonna talk. Praise the Lord. You know, I was coming into the room yesterday to do something different. And then the Holy Spirit just said a name to me. And I hadn't heard that name or played his song in this room since we started. Just said, Ray Bolts. And I'm like, Ray Bolts, I think I know that name. So I pulled him up as an artist, his albums, and I was looking. And I was drawn to two songs, which I played yesterday. One of them I played again today. And the lesson, I changed the lesson to then talk about, you know, Jesus's perspective. You know, for the things that we do for the Lord. And I want to talk about that a little bit more today. Yesterday I alluded to us helping, you know, Jesus being those helping hands. You know, sometimes we forget that the Lord is actually counting on us, counting on you. You know, there is some things now that the Lord cannot do, but you can do it in his name. You know, your little neighbor that's there that needs a kind word, well, it's going to come from you. You know, the homeless person, the disadvantaged person, the one that has a need, you know, that area is going to come from you now. And the Lord, he's looking for us to be more sensitive and do these things. That song talked about the surprise for the one that did a lot of things that didn't even know it. And when they got to heaven, you know, all the things that they heard. One person come and say, it was because you did this or you did that. The other person said this and that. You know, here's a good scripture for us to consider this morning. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you when you have it by thee. You know, so this scripture is telling us, you will have opportunities to do some good. Don't let those opportunities pass by, you know, and don't push it down the road and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Do it today. An opportunity to help the guy, help him today already. You know, tomorrow may be too late. Maybe a chance for you to save a life. You know, I'm talking both materially, physically, and spiritually. Every which way that we can impact somebody. Whatever you do, you know, whatever you do, inward deed or whatever, do all, you know, to the glory of God. You know, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians chapter 3, we are told in verse 17. whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, you know, the next time you drop a word to somebody, remember, you're doing it in the name of the Lord. If you do it in the name of the Lord, the next time you do a deed, you do it in the name of the Lord. And do it with thanksgiving. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we talk about cheerfully giving, it's not about giving an offering at church or a preacher taking up an offering. You know, that's how some preachers preach that to their own advantage. But the cheerful giving that, you know, Paul was talking about was actually, you know, for those that have need. That's what he was talking about, you know. And he was talking about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, for instance. He talked about, look, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, by the way, verses 6 to 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have in all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. I mean, these good works, you know, are for us to do to somebody that's in need. Praise the Lord. And when you do a good word, it'll speak for you. You know, I alluded to this story yesterday of a man that was doing a lot of good, and how that his good works did speak for him. And I want to just read a little bit of that story. There's a few other things I want to do this morning, but just listen to this. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1, there was a man, a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord that came to him saying, Cornelius! And when he looked, he was afraid. So what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thine alms. See, all your good deeds and all the things that you're doing have come up for a memorial before God. Now, every good deed that you do, almsgiving here may be given to the poor and so forth, but, you know, I take it even beyond that. You know, when you speak a kind word, when you drop the word of the gospel on behalf of Christ to somebody, you know, when you do a lifter upper, an encouragement word to somebody, when you present your shoulder for someone to cry upon or lean upon. I mean, when you are there, when you got someone's back, you know, when they are in trouble, when you are that faithful prayer partner that they can call upon when they have a need, you know, and when you give the what you thought was so little of yourself and of your time, it's not only in giving away substance, material substance, it's in giving away of ourselves. You know, every time you took up that cross in the morning, carried it, well, Cross just means denying yourself. Sometimes you have to deny yourself to help somebody else, and so on and so forth. Every time you do that, heaven is taking note. So this man, because of his good deeds, the angel told him, well, you know, this has come before the Lord for a memorial. Basically, that's a thank you for all the good things that you've been doing, you know. And the Lord said, well, salvation is coming to your house because of these things. So here's how we're going to do it. Call for such and such and so on and so forth. And he'll come and tell you the word of the Lord and the rest of the story, you know. So, I mean, this man was doing these good deeds. He didn't know. I mean, the good deeds didn't save him, but the good deeds spoke for him in a time that he, you know, and for what he needed most, which was salvation to his family. And the good deeds spoke to him. Now, your good deeds, if, you know, whether you're a believer or not, will speak for you. We read the story yesterday in Matthew 25 of what Jesus said, you know, how he would reward. And the words that came to the ones that were doing something for the Lord, you know, the Lord said, how blessed of the Lord, you know, enter into the kingdom prepared for you of my Father from before the world began. I mean, that was a tremendous blessing to hear that. And you never know what it is that you do, how it's going to impact a life. And here are some things to also consider, you know, that the Lord, how he should, you should watch what you say and how whatever you say, you know, might become a blessing. If you say it well, you know, here's what it says. Let your speech, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, you know, somebody may randomly say something to you. If you are in discernment, you may realize that there is hurt and some pain in their lives. Well, what do? Speak a good word unto them. Yeah, an encouragement word. You know, somebody may be losing some hope in some areas. Well, encourage them in the name of the Lord. It could be a brother or sister, you know. It could be a random person you don't even know. On and on and on. And every time you stand in prayer for someone else, you're doing it for the Lord. And one day you might hear the Lord say, well, thank you for praying for me. And you will wonder, how in the world could I pray for you? It's kind of like John the Baptist said, I mean, why are you coming to me to be baptized? You know, I'm the one that needs to be baptized of you. I mean, Jesus would say, thank you for praying for me. And you would think, you're the one that's sitting over the household of God, making intercession for us the whole time. How could I ever have prayed for you? What do you need my prayer for? And the Lord would say, well, every time you prayed for that person, he will show you. You know, he'll show you all these people, all the people that you might have prayed for. Well, every time you did it, you did it unto me. I mean, let's think about that. That's so profound. I mean, we really don't think about that when we do things. Same thing when you do a wicked thing to somebody, you do it unto the Lord. Same thing. When you do a kind thing, you do it unto the Lord. When you neglect to do it, you neglect to do it unto the Lord. That's the one that Jesus was saying. And he said, well, you know, so the ones that neglected to do it, he told them, well, you had the opportunity to visit me, you know, and when I was homeless, you didn't take me in. When I was hungry, you didn't do this and that. You know, when I was down, you didn't speak a good word to me. When I needed prayer, you didn't pray for me. You can expand that and go on and on and on. And those people said, Lord, what are you talking about? I mean, when did we ever see you? You had even been gone long before our time. You know, we never saw you homeless and not take you in. And what would we have done that? Well, Jesus said, well, got all these ones that you had opportunity to do it to. You didn't do it. Every time you had an opportunity to do good and you withheld your hand, well, you're withholding it from the Lord. So you see, let's meditate on that today. Now, we should be a people zealous of good works. You know, it's not your works that are going to save you. You're already saved. But now, Paul said, look, let our people who are already saved, let them be careful to maintain good works. You know, you are already saved. You know, go about. Jesus himself went about Acts 10 and 38, doing good. Just doing good. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. You know, healing all those who are oppressed, that's part of the good. But also reaching out, you know, to people when people were distressed. You know, somebody carrying, you know, casket, he would stop the casket, get them out of there, bring them back to life. You know, people crying at a grave, it would change that story. I mean, got into somebody's house one day, their mother-in-law was having a fever, healed them. I mean, on and on, it was just doing good because these people needed that comfort at the time. And every time we do, and if we have that notion of compassion, great things will be happening at our hands. If it's in your heart to do good to people that are suffering, you know, and people, you see someone that's suffering of illness and it's in your heart, you know, to help them. Well, when you lay your hands and pray, the Bible says this sign shall follow them that believe. I mean, you're not doing it because you're thinking I'm going to heal them. Yeah, just compassion. Just have a compassion. You know, these people are suffering. Just pray for them. And the next thing you know, that's all that heaven was waiting for. And something began to happen in their life. Praise the Lord. We heard the testimony of a sister the other day. She said, well, yeah, she just went to pray for somebody in the hospital. They'd gather their whole family around. And she said, oh my goodness, I'm not qualified to do this, she thought. Well, it's not about you being qualified or not. It's about compassion. Your heart. Just have compassion. She just had compassion. Just pray. That's all. And the next thing we know, that life was changed. And have compassion. It's the same thing. It's the same compassion that should drive us to preaching the gospel. And I often say, if you don't have any compassion in your heart for people, you have no business preaching the gospel to anybody. It's a gospel of compassion. You know, Jonah, you might read his story in Jonah chapters 3 and 4, especially. He had no compassion for the lost. In fact, he had a spirit of indignation in his heart. I mean, he wanted all those wicked people to pay for their sins. And yeah, it was true that the people were wicked, but Jonah wanted them to pay. You know, and he knew that if he went there and spoke to them, they would repent. But he didn't want them to escape the judgment. Therefore, he ran from the presence of the Lord. You can read it in Jonah chapter 4. And I have often wondered, are you kidding me? You know, how in the world would somebody have that kind of attitude? Well, these things are in the scriptures, you know, for examples, you know. This is what Jonah said. He said, look, God was teaching him a lesson. And then he said the thing that God did displeased him, because how that God, you know, allowed something that was providing him shade and everything. But even before that, you know, the Lord was trying to get his attention. But he wouldn't do it. But when he finally did it, you know, the people turned, it just went. But if you look at even his preaching was not one of compassion. You know, he just said, you know, the Lord told him, finally, go and go to that great city, Nineveh, and preach the preaching I sent you to do. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And he began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There was no compassion in his preaching, I don't think. You know, but just preach. You know, God just needs your voice. God will, but it's better if it comes to compassion. Touch the heart of the people. But anyway, God used him. And the people were moved, you know, to repentance from the king all the way down, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, the greatest of them to the least, you know. And the king himself rose from his throne and took his robe of ring, covered his head with sackcloth, sat in ashes, proclaimed a fast throughout the land. Everybody, man, beast, herd and flock, taste no food at all, drink no water, and begin to cry mightily unto our God, you know. Let everyone turn from his wicked ways and the violence that is in their hands. You know, perhaps, you know, the Lord will turn from his fierce anger and that we perish not. Well, the Lord did actually save the people. And when the Lord turned his anger and did not destroy them because they repented, see, repentance, we talked about that. People must repent. When they repented, and we must preach that also. When they repented, and the thing displeased Jonah. That's what he said in chapter 4. He said, it displeased Jonah exceedingly because the Lord had spared the people. Can you imagine? And he said, well, was this not my saying that I said while I was yet in my country? Is this not the reason why I fled? Because I knew that you are a gracious God and that you were slow to anger and of great kindness. And you will turn away yourself from the evil. Because, you know, that's why I ran. You know, can you imagine? The man did not even want those people to be spared and they to be saved. But God put out there to show us a lesson. Now, I want you to think about every chance you get to help somebody, to show them a good word from the Lord, to be an encouragement for them, to give a helping hand. I mean, you can't save everybody. You can't solve everybody's problems in the world. But the one that the Lord brings your way, that's the impact you can make. Because God arranges these things. You know, so if they come across your way, well, think about it next time. Maybe it's God. There's a story that Jesus told. You know, and we call this story the story of a good Samaritan, and that's what we call it. You know, it's in Luke chapter 10. But there is something in this story that the man that got into trouble before the armed robbers and who left him half dead. Wounded him, stripped him of all the stuff. This man, he was there. But the religious folks left him wounded like that. Read the story again. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And fell among thieves and who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance came down a certain priest. Now, that's a religious leader. And when he saw him, he passed by on the side. Had no compassion whatsoever. Likewise, a Levite, another type of religious leader, came by the place, looked upon him, and passed by the other side. The religious leaders left the wounded like that to die. You know? And today, we still have religious leaders leaving people who are wounded. It's a lot of church hurt. You know, and we're leaving them wounded without reaching out to them and bringing healing to all those wounds. You know, now this is not to justify, you know, those who are offended at everything. Some people that take offense at every little thing. You know, Jesus said, look, offenses must need come. Blessed is the man who's not offended in me. If you are the kind that take offense at everything that somebody did, because of that, you left your local church. Well, you know, think again. You're not part of the solution. You're just part of the problem. You know, we need to bring, you know, the unity of the spirit. But for the religious leaders who leave the people wounded like that, Jesus talked about them in this parable. And whereas we focus on the person that did good, well, I like to focus every time on this, when I read this story, on the people that did the neglect. And that's right. Because they had an opportunity to have helped this person. But, you know, there are many reasons why they might not have helped him. Either the holier-than-thou attitude, or, you know, some other religious ritual was more important to them than helping the wounded. I don't know. Whatever their reason was. I mean, they could be looking down their nose on this man and say, well, you know, you should have stayed in Jerusalem. What's your business trying to go to Jericho for? Because Jerusalem is the house of God. Jericho is Sin City. You know, so, you know, well, you got what you deserve. And they left him like that. I mean, that reminds me of religious leaders today who, instead of giving a helping hand when someone falls, you know, add insult to injury. Yet, that's not the way of the Lord. The Lord came down from heaven. You know, to do a binding and the healing for us. And then we ought to also do the same. In the book of Isaiah chapter 42, and verse 3, it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, talking about the Lord, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. You know, this means, well, something that's already broken or bruised, well, don't add insult to injury and break them off. Something that's already almost dying, you know, don't be the catalyst that will finish them off. And all the neglect and the, you know, condemnation and stuff, yeah, that's, it will just kill those people off. Now, we don't condemn sin. Neither did Jesus ever condemn sin. But, you know, we need to rethink our ways. You know, they brought this, you know, this woman in John chapter 8 that was taken up in the middle of adultery to Jesus. According to the law of Moses, there was no compassion, just stone her to death. Well, was that what Jesus did? Of course not. As far as Jesus is concerned, you know, mercy and truth have kissed each other. You know? Yeah. The mercy of the Lord and the truth to set the woman free kissed each other right there. You tell them the truth, you know, but show mercy on them nonetheless. Praise God. And every time also the things that we do, I want to say that the Bible says that we should not be weary in well-doing because, you know, there is reward that's coming. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know? So don't be weary in well doing. Anytime you get a chance, do it. You know, and whatever it is that you find in your hand doing, or do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, in this same book of Colossians where we read a verse earlier, verse 17, well, you scroll down and read also, you know, verse 23, and you will see that it says that whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, anyone that does wrong, though, will also receive the wrong that he did, for there is no respect of persons with him. But for those of you that have opportunity to do good, do it as unto the Lord. And never mind if someone thanks you for it or not. Well, you know, there's a lot of things we do that we don't even know what the impact might be. But, you know, according to that song, Thank You, we saw that, you know, one day when the person stood before the Lord to receive their reward, there were people that stepped out of the shadows, said a lot of things. And it was what you did, it was what you did, it was what you did. I am wondering. Jesus himself said the same thing. It was what you did, the water you gave, you know, the kindness you showed me, the visit you paid me, and all this. What? Yeah. So think about it. Praise the Lord. So again, thank you for doing it for the Lord. Just wanted to speak a little more about that. Thank you for doing it for the Lord. And every time that you've done what's right, not what's easy, let me put it to you this way. We do what's right, not what is easy. It might be easy to not do anything. It's easy to just leave the wounded there like that and pass on the other side. It was more inconvenient, you know, for you to get off your horse, or high horse sometimes, and take care of the needy. You know, I mean, interrupt your own schedule. I mean, the Levite and the priest, they probably were going to do some religious ritual, and which was more important to them than for them to stop and bind up the wound of the, you know, wounded. Well, you know, every time you took time out and you sacrificed something, your time especially, and your talents, well, you're doing it unto the Lord, and the Lord takes note of it. And whether you are thanked for it here or not, the Lord thanks you. And there is a reward that is coming. You know, there's a reward. And Paul was talking about, you know, all kinds of rewards for the things that we do. You know, he called it the works, you know, that we do. It's talking about in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, all these works that we do, how you, somebody, you know, plants, another person waters, and God is the one that gives the increase. He talks about, you know, foundation that's laid and works that we are building. You know, some of our works may be gold, silver, precious stones, others may be wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work, he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and every man's work shall be tried. What sort it is? If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, works such as ministering grace to the wounded, ministering the word of God to those that are wandering in darkness, you know, helping the underprivileged, etc., etc., and being kind to your spouse. That's a ministry too, right there. you know, obeying and honoring your parents. That's a ministry. Any of those things that we do, well, they're like works. And those things will be judged. And if any man's work shall be burned, himself shall suffer loss. I mean, you'll be saved. I mean, a work sinner will save you, but you'll suffer loss. Be shame. It's nothing. No reward on the day when the rewards are being given out. But if your work shall abide, which you have built, my goodness, then you shall have rejoicing in yourself on that day. Praise the Lord. Now, so let us be encouraged to do good. You know, be encouraged. You may have been called to a ministry of helps. You may not know that you have that ministry just yet. But, you know, you see that you're drawn to helping people. Well, that's it. You may be drawn into compassion. You're always thinking about people. Well, that's it. That could also be promoted into intercessions. Intercessory ministry, perhaps one of the greatest you ever have. You know, prayer is an amazing thing. You don't need to be seen or known that you're doing it, but it's, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest ministry we have in the body of Christ. Because you're right there, you know, praying. Jesus said to Peter, the devil has desired to have you and sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. You know, and that prayer is going to get you through it. He told him. And so when we pray, you know, and the Lord moves on your heart and you pray for somebody, well, they may know it or not. Doesn't matter that they even know it. Sometimes it's good for you to tell them. You know, Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you. You know, it's good. But Jesus didn't tell Peter that in order to get a thank you from Peter. Just told him that to encourage him. Now you get it. You get through it. And there are better days ahead. You'll be converted. You know, things will turn around. And you then turn around and help somebody else. What Jesus told Peter. Praise the Lord. You know, so everything that the Lord put in your hand to do, do it well. There's reward for it. You know, and consistency in doing the things that you may find in your heart and your hands to do, and you do it well, you know, it's a good thing. Praise the Lord. Do it to the glory of God. As often as you have a chance to do some good, do it before the Lord. Praise God. You know, there was a man, you know, I mean, called Simeon. You read his story in Luke chapter 2. The Bible says there was a devout man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was also upon him. Luke chapter 2 verse 25. And it was revealed unto him, you know, by the Spirit of God, I should not see death, you know, until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What was this man doing? Well, he was always praying. In the same chapter, you know, we read about, you know, one Anna, a prophetess, daughter of one Phanuel. You know, she was of great age, lived, you know, her husband 7 years, and, you know, is now a widow, about 84 years old. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Well, these people were rewarded. Their eyes saw the Christ. Hallelujah. So everything that we're doing, you know, sometimes, you know, we may think, well, what is it? Oh, don't be discouraged. Just keep doing it. The Lord thanks you. And I want to say thank you. This is something I did yesterday. I want to say it again today. Thank you to all the people who are out there sharing the gospel. Thank you to all the people that are out there doing a kind act, you know, speaking a kind word, giving encouragement to somebody that's down. The Bible says there shall be a lifting up. You know, when people are saying there's a downer, you say there's a lifting up. Yes. Some people are the ones that are saying that. And God thanks you. Praise the Lord. So, and we thank you too for all that you do. And those of you that walk in the background that nobody knows or sees, you know, thank you for your service. Praise the Lord. You know, and God, the Lord continue to strengthen and enable you to do his will. Praise the Lord. Do the will of the Lord. What is his will? Well, keep doing what it is. Keep doing it in the name of the Lord, just like that. And the Lord will continue to be glorified in the things that you do. Those things, you know, glorify the Lord when we do it in his name. Praise the Lord. And today, I want to do a short period of prayer. This was in my heart yesterday, and I did some of the prayer, but there's some specific thing I want to pray for as well today. I'm going to do that after I finish this lesson. Praise the Lord. So our lesson today is simple. You know, carry on in doing the good things, even the small, seemingly inconsequential things. Look like nobody is noticing and nobody thanks you for it. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, the honor, you know, that comes from God is better than the honor that comes from man. Listen to this in John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. That's a beautiful and powerful promise. If any man serve me again, he said, him will my Father honor. That's right. You know, so the honor that comes from God for your service, you know, that is worth it all. And how God will honor you, it may be here physically on earth, maybe in heaven, but for sure it will be in heaven. God will honor you. But let's serve the Lord with faithfulness and let's not be discouraged. Praise the Lord. And let's help, you know, one another. Carpenter said to the goldsmith and so forth, well, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, don't be discouraged. And your brother, you know, falling down, you, you know, raise them up by giving them a helping hand. One day the Lord showed me a parable. And I say, well, the kingdom of God is like this. And I, you know, it seemed as if there were several people trying to climb out of a ditch. And there was a strong man at the top of the ditch, you know, trying to pull people out. And he threw down a lifeline of sorts. You know, he's strong enough to pull people out. You know, but the rule was that, you know, everybody that was struggling, trying to grasp the rope and climb up both hands, the rule was a no. You know, you just hold on to the rope with one hand, but reach out with the other hand and pull somebody else up on the rope behind you. And say, oh my goodness. You know, and you know, that was the only way he was going to pull them out. No one left behind. It was indeed a parable the Lord showed me of sorts. But we must encourage one another and pull one another up. Isaiah 41 verse 7 says, the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoted with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil. Yeah, one person encouraged the other. So be it in Jesus' name. And everything that we do none of it goes to waste. The Bible says there are record books in heaven. The book was opened, the book of life, and then the books were opened. And everyone was judged, you know, out of those things that were written in the books. Those books contain some of your good deeds. And God will never forget a good deed. And those things are being written. And those things are coming up at different times also. You know, coming up to the Lord from time to time as memorials. You know, it may be something that will speak for you now, but no matter what, it will speak for you at the end. The book of Revelation 20 verse 12 tells us that there was the book of life opened, and then there were also the books that were opened. Many books, plural, were also opened. And all your works are therein. Well, will they be works of gold, silver, precious stones, or will they be of wood, stable, and hay? Well, that's for you and I to answer. Now let me pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord. I pray that, you know, the words of the Lord, some people say a word is enough for the wise. Well, I pray that the Lord will interpret the words of the Lord to our hearts this morning to encourage us to not be weary in well-doing, because there's rewards for the things that we do for the Lord in the name of the Lord. Even if you shall give a cup of water, the Lord said to someone in my name, now that's your reward. Everything that we do, especially when it's to turn a life around from destruction, bring them into the kingdom of light. If your words and your actions lead to that, my goodness, Bible says heaven rejoices and you shall get a tremendous reward. We give you, Lord, the praise and we give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.